Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
So, hey, friends, welcome back to the podcast. As you may already know, I'm Lee Brown. I am the hostess of Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where we do our level best to tell you stories that you have never, ever heard before or never thought you would hear because the people in them had no idea they were going to happen either. And today I bring you a guest who's not just any old Dan Smith, but he is the real Dan Smith, and he's going to have to tell us why that's his name. So, Dan, tell our people a little bit about you, where you're from, what you do related to real estate, any little tidbits they should know.
The real Dan Smith. Well, it's one of the most common names out there. You know, I think it was like the eighth website taken right after Coca-Cola and Home Depot and everything way back in the day. Like the lead singer for Bastille, three NFL players, two Major League Baseball players, number one bow tie maker in the world.
Number one bow tie maker?
Yeah, named Dan Smith. And none of those people are me, but I am the real Dan Smith. check this out. I used to sell real estate and winner, winner. I don't anymore. I got out of the game.
They don't look back at real estate and say, oh, I miss that. That doesn't happen a lot.
So I'm still in real estate, but I'm not like fully in the trenches. I'm kind of like the general up on the hill watching the soldiers down there work a little bit, right? And so I got out in 2007, sold my company right before the meltdown, literally 9 days before the meltdown was when I got paid out. And so I was like rather Nostradamus-like or pure ass luck. I don't know, I'll let you decide. I had a 5-year non-compete. And when the 5 years was up, I was like, you know what I don't want to do? I don't want to do real estate like I was doing it anymore. I did 321 sides in 2006 and I was burnt to a crisp. Yeah. Right. And so I started speaking. I wrote a couple books, started training. I still am a principal owner in a brokerage. I still work with teams. I married a broker. I got out of real estate and then I married back into it. Right. I mean,
and then, so you were out of real estate, then you married a broker?
Yeah.
So you knew what you were getting into then.
I totally knew what I was getting into, right? I was, ouch, clean. And then I married a broker and then we bought a brokerage. And so we're right back in it, but at least I don't have to deal with the general public anymore.
Well, until you go out to eat and, you know.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And then I get to deal with all like real estate agents and professionals. And then I love the people in the industry. I just hate morons. And I have lots of stories about morons.
You know what you've become? The worst client ever, because yes. The first person to call you is to say, I used to be a broker. And we're like, oh, Jesus.
Like, oh, you're one of them.
You're going to know just enough to annoy me and be dangerous. Okay. Yeah. Just a second. All right. So Dan, you've done like everything in and around real estate, from owning to selling to marrying and to training. So that gives you a lot of fodder for stories that you might tell over a nice adult beverage. And so I'd love to know, in all of the things that have happened to you in real estate, what was the most unexpected, crazy moment that made you say, holy shit, what am I doing with my life here?
You know, so I'm in California. And so we are a very litigious state.
How many pages in your disclosure? Like 283 or something?
Yeah, like it's ridiculous. It's like the Gutenberg Bible.
For the record, right? We got 4 pages.
So yeah, our purchase contract is now approaching 14 pages, and the disclosure package is definitely plus 100. You know, and I did in the day, all put together, maybe 2,500 transactions or so I had done, and I ended up getting sued a total of 7 times.
Lucky seven.
Right? I actually won all of them that I had to go to court for. But the very first one is the one that sticks in my mind the most. Because first, I'd only been in the business for like 18 months. So I was green, right? And I was young, started real estate when I was in my early 20s. And my mentor was an awesome, experienced, super skilled man, but he was just kind of mean sometimes. And so when the lawsuit came down, like to say, he was pissed would be an understatement. And so I had to go to court. I mean, we went through the whole thing of dealing with the broker of the owner, who was not the broker of record. He had a broker, and I was having to have meetings with the owner and getting yelled at, and meetings with the broker getting yelled at because he was getting yelled at by the owner.
Wait a minute. Are we in like real court, like with Judge
Judy? No, this is in the offices. This is going to be in real court, but these are in our own real estate offices. just getting ready for court, okay. explaining the stories and going through the paperwork and what happened. And we got to go through hundreds of pages of disclosures to prepare. And so the owner's yelling at me because I'm a stupid kid. And the broker's yelling at me because the owner's yelling at him for not doing a better job of overseeing the stupid kid, theoretically, right? And so we finally go to court months and months later of all this stress, right? I mean, I got like this gray and this bald by the time I was like 26 because of this transaction, maybe. Like I had a whole head of hair before it happened. It was all brown. And so went away fast with this. We go to court, and at court, there's a whole brand new set of complaints that they have brought. So they're suing me over non-disclosure. And I didn't disclose that there were things wrong with the house. And I'm not sure how it is in Charleston and in California. The only thing that can really get you jammed up is non-disclosure. As long as you disclose everything, you're going to be good. We don't have like mandatory fixes here. It could have a hole in the ceiling the size of a VW bug. And so long as we told them about it and they signed off on it, we're golden, right? They were saying I didn't disclose problems. And then when we got in front of the judge, they pulled out their whack-a-mole card, right? They thought they had me, and they're like, look at this. He didn't tell us that all of the beams, the 2x6s holding up the floor, were all sawed and had been sawed away, and there's nothing supporting the floor.
What?
Right? That was what they had brought out at the lawsuit at the last minute. And they had pictures and video. And back then, it wasn't like cool video. It was like little camcorder. It wasn't like on our phones.
It was the one
right?
that says on your shoulder, that big one?
Yeah, yeah, because we're all running around with like Blackberries with not even the thing, with like the wheel, right,
at that point. It's my Blackberry. Oh.
I know. I was a Blackberry Crackberry fan, man. I loved that thing. The judge says, our attorney talks about, well, we need the home inspector here. We didn't know that this was going to be a topic. So then we got to go back to court a month later. And I'm getting yelled at by the broker and yelled at by the owner. And I'm losing more hair and I'm going more gray at the ripe young age of 26 or 27. And then we go back to court and the home inspector's there and they make their case again that all these beams were cut out. And because of that, we want this massive amount of money, basically want enough money to pay for the house free and clear, right? That's kind of the argument. And the home inspector gets up and saves my life. And the home inspector gets up and says, Your Honor, if I can, and he pulls out his thing and here's the home inspection that I did for them when they bought the home. And he shows the pictures that he had taken underneath the floor and that they were all 100% there. So the judge almost immediately, like within minutes, not within seconds, but within minutes, dismissed all charges of the case and told the people to go away. And so at the end of the day, what happened to these people was they had a nice house and they tried to game the system and they actually cut all of the support beams out of the entire bottom floor structure of a two-story home, and then they didn't get anything for it. They had attorney's costs, and now they got a house that was basically at the point that it had to be condemned. So that's my crazy shit story.
I don't even know how to process this, because that's a special kind of evil and greedy and stupid. I mean,
it's a special kind of stupid, right?
And yeah. They were married, so these people found each other?
Yeah, they married with kids.
Oh, they should not have reproduced. I'm just going to lay that out there, but... I have to ask, how does it occur to anybody to go up under your house and try and dismember it?
Yeah, like, and if you're going to try to dismember the house and you may or may not win, or try to do something to the house to prove non-disclosure and may or may not win, this is, again, they got hit one too many times with a stupid stick. Don't do anything that if you lose, your house is totally screwed up.
It's also right? probably don't listen to the damn lawyer. You know, some lawyer told them it was going to work.
Yeah, exactly.
If your
right?
lawyer listening to this or watching it, then y'all need to straighten up some of your people because y'all are overly litigious out there. That's crazy.
In California, we have a joke. I don't know if you know how a lawyer's lying, right?
He's awake. He's breathing.
His lips are moving.
I mean, I just don't get it. And I know there's good lawyers out there. We need you. Don't at me. I can't stand the at and don't do it. But I would like to know this. Did y'all have to pay your attorney's costs, or did the shifty people have to pay your lawyers?
So we actually had to pony up for the attorney costs. My broker, in all the yelling, had decided that it wasn't worthy and there wasn't enough to it. It was just going to cost him a little bit and be a pain in his butt. And he didn't take it to E&O, right? He thought, you know what? We don't need E&O for this. I don't want to affect my deductible. I don't want to affect my stuff. I don't want to pay that much. So I think we can get our attorney by with, and so I think he ended up just paying the hourly rate, which, you know, I was selling real estate when I was young with the dinosaurs. So that was probably at that point in time, only like $150 an hour. So maybe $1,500 or so. It wasn't a lot. And I'll tell you what though, he took my split part out of that money.
You had to pay?
I had to pay my split.
So you didn't even do anything wrong.
Yeah, back in the day, I was at a 50-50. So I paid 50% of what it was. And I want to say it was like $700-$800 was my half.
So did you leave that brokerage after he made you pay the attorney's costs when you didn't do anything wrong?
Up until now, God's honest truth, I've never even really considered that. I just thought, you know, sometimes things happen and so you're on the hook. I did leave, but I left after I'd been with him for about 2.5 years. I started with him brand new, licensed. He got me licensed, learned a ton. He was an awesome mentor. But at the time, you know, his model was 50-50 splits. And so I was getting to the point that I was doing pretty well. And so I decided I wanted to go out and start to do my own thing. I was kind of on his team, branded under him. But I did not leave after that went down.
So if you're a consumer listening or watching the podcast, this falls into the category that keeps coming round and round of you need a home inspection. And in today's world, kind of nice if they do have a little digital video, little digital photo action to back everything up in case somebody comes in later on and tries to cut the house off of its parts.
And if you're a buyer, you need one. If you're a seller, don't be sneaky. Make sure you say everything that is wrong with the property. Don't try to like Band-Aid stuff over because you never know if it could come back and bite you, right?
Well, I'll tell you, the disclosure thing is kind of hilarious because, as you know, the proof is in the pudding. You have to prove that they knew and then hid it, which is almost impossible because people don't tell things about their house if they never know shit about their house. They live there and don't have any idea about the roof and the heat and air, and it's crazy. And I had this one seller one time that my buyers bought the house. And it was in the middle of a drought. North Carolina, we get droughts on the regular. And this house had a basement. It was dry as a bone. Inspection, dry as a bone. No moisture, nothing. Cellar, I've never had a leak, no nothing. They bought the house. 2 months later, the gully washer came and the heavens opened. And they were down there with buckets taking water out of that basement. And the neighbor walked over and said, so Dan never fixed that water problem, did he? And they said, well, now wait on a minute. He said they want nothing wrong. And they're like, oh no, every time it rains, that thing is flooded out. And they said, would you put that in writing with our lawyer? And he said, you're my neighbors now. I sure will.
Yeah, exactly.
They won. They sued the shit out of him and they won because he deserved it. But yes, Dan's right, y'all. Tell the truth. And if you're a realtor, by the way, you are supposed to be paying attention, but you should also not fill out disclosures for your clients. Let's just toss that in there. It's not a realtor's job to fill them out.
We have an extra 10-page disclosure in California that came about a couple years ago that added a 10-page packet to everything that the agent walks through the house. In addition to the seller listing everything in every room, the agent walks through and does their own independent walking through every room, walking the property and putting down their own list of what they visually see in the event that the seller forgot or left it off. And so there's a whole other 10-page packet that an agents in California are kind of on the hook. Like, you better actually walk that property and write that stuff down.
You know, Dan, now I got to wonder if that's going to be impacted by this new virtual world that we're living in caused by the Chinese virus here. I just wonder if with people trying to do so much by Zoom, how is a realtor going to fill that out? And then you got OSHA trying to tell realtors how to do business in California.
I had to go into our office yesterday, and of course, we have a broker of record who runs the show, right? But man, there are signs everywhere. I couldn't get water out of the water cooler. I couldn't go into the restroom. Like, everything is signed as per OSHA guidelines, closed, out of order, not to be turned on. Like, it was crazy, right? But in California, we are allowed currently to go out to properties following proper rules, mask, gloves, social distancing. But there was a period that we couldn't. And who knows if there will be a period again that we can't. That's a really good question. What happens if you fell in that window?
It's going to get interesting. And I think this is where, as a consumer, this is one of those reasons that realtors exist. And I get in trouble for saying this, but we're kind of like cockroaches. I mean, you can't kill them. So they've survived through every kind of disruptive market, every kind of change in the climate. Cockroaches are there, and realtors don't go anywhere because we're necessary. I'm not sure how cockroaches are necessary, really, except for that really cool.
They actually do.
At right? Joe's apartment. That was the best little short ever.
Like, what did I do?
I do. Remember it. I do wonder, but this is why using an app could be actually detrimental if you're selling your house, because you might not know all of the intricacies of disclosures and the risk that you run later.
Yeah, yeah, completely. And we are seeing a couple things right now in California. Total off crazy topic, right? But we're seeing two things in California, which are actually somewhat kind of freaking crazy. One, agents are valuable. And I think everyone's been figuring that out. Like agents who know their market and know their neighborhood and know the ins and the outs, and agents who before were just high paid door openers, potentially. How the public
they were calling it in, right? They were calling
it in. They're calling it in. They're order takers, not actual salespeople or professionals. They are now. They are now. They're, people are in line wanting to talk to somebody who knows, you know, two things. They're tired of people who know jack and shit. They want to know people who know jack and something now. Like, please give me data. So they're super valuable now, we've noticed. And two, I don't know about there, but here right now, this market is flying. Like, we've looked at the data in the last week. And in the last week, our showing numbers are higher than they were back in January and February pre-COVID, when it was just this weird thing in China we were reading about and our market was zooming. It's actually zooming even faster than that now. Showings for homes being set through showing time are through the roof, like 25% higher.
People have been stuck at home.
Yep.
And so now they've thought about what they would do differently. Where would they want to live? They've had a chance to maybe talk to the spouse or the person they live with, because when we're all so busy running in different directions, people can't even think. And now they're thinking. I think that's got to be part of it. And
I think
I'll tell you, two houses with pools. That's what's really hot here, because people maybe aren't ready to go to Disneyland yet. They'd like to have a Disneyland backyard. And hey, what better time to stay at home?
And I'm in a suburban area, right? So our broker's in a suburban area. And we're seeing urbanites run for the hills, like literally, right? Because we live in the hills. They are running for the hills right now, because they've been told that they're going to be able to commute work now. Much more regularly, because their businesses have figured out how to do it. And so they don't have to be in Los Angeles and going to downtown and dealing with that traffic, so they can actually get to the hills. Like, we're seeing a fair amount of that starting to rear its head. It's going to be super interesting, I think, for the real estate market. I know everyone's all like freaked out and it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be really good. We've had transactional issues for years, right?
It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. But I think you're right that the people will go back to the suburbs, and you'll probably also see people say, you know what? I don't want a 12% state income tax. If I can telecommute, I can go to Arizona and telecommute to my LA job and hop on a plane if I have to.
Yeah. And if I got to show up every 10 days, that's just a 40-minute flight.
Yeah.
Super interesting. I'm really excited. Everyone's freaked out about what the market's going to do. And there's some, for everybody who's having troubles with health or jobs, I get it. But and I'm not talking about specific instances, as an industry, I think we're primed to actually do pretty well. So that's just my take on it.
Well, the smart, conscientious, competent people will do really well.
Yes.
So, Dan, if somebody needs to reach you or your broker wife or any of the teams that you work for real estate needs in the Los Angeles area, or to reach you as a speaker and an instructor who's going to share more stories with them, what's the best way for them to find the real Dan Smith?
Since Dan Smith was taken on every platform by Dan Smith, like the author, B-Y Dan Smith, was not. And so buydansmith.com, buy Dan Smith on every Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, buydansmith.com is the website address. I'm about to jump onto the TikTok bandwagon. I haven't done it yet. I'm fighting it. But I've been talking to some...
That shit's owned by the Chinese. I ain't giving them no
more. I've been talking to some people that says, you know, it's a really good real estate platform if you use the video platform and you don't dance on it. Because the follow... And I was like, wow, that's actually a pretty interesting take. And
you just stand there?
No, it's like touring, like property tours. So I haven't decided. We haven't jumped on it yet, but I'm like, I fought it. And here's the thing. I think maybe I'm too freaking old. That's why I'm fighting it. So I got to figure out if I'm getting in my own way. I don't know yet. But by Dan Smith, pretty much everywhere. That's how they find me.
Snapchat didn't wind up being the real estate game changer either, because
that's true.
And I think TikTok is a flash in the pan, but that's all right. We'll figure
it out. I sure hope it is. I got to tell you.
Look, people, I know that y'all did not write any of that down because you were sitting there trying to figure out if it was buy like B-Y or buy like B-U-Y because he's in real estate with his bride. Whatever, it's good because we have show notes for the episode. And so you can just click and you can reach out to Dan and ask him all your questions and book him for your events or send his wife a referral or just send her a sympathy card because this is what she married into. But frankly, she knew too. So it's probably fair disclosure. See, disclosures.
Oh, there's definitely disclosure items.
We need some written disclosure documents for marriage. We should work on that, Dan. That's a future business model, I think, that could be big.
It's a niche. The riches are in the niches, right? That's a niche.
I hate that riches are in the niches phrase. There's so many overused cliches. Let's just make sure we say that this is unprecedented times, and we've talked about the new normal, that we're all in this together. We're pivoting, and we miss one. It's probably something else I missed.
Well, your phrase is awesome. I like how you're calling it. You're calling it the
great unknown.
Yeah, I love that. That's so true.
Which, frankly, that's probably real estate at all times, if we're honest about it. It's always the great unknown.
Always a crisis. We just make up crises sometimes. If there's no crisis, we find a crisis, right? Now we just happen to have one given to us.
So we can solve it, and we can look good doing it.
There we go.
Hey, Dan, thanks for coming on the show. It's always good to see you and hear your energy, because we need energy right now in this world.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you. And I will see you one of these days. We'll be able to go out in real life, and we might end up attending a convention and being able to go someplace besides our living rooms and our home offices.
Oh, there will be a convention. Look, if they start canceling all the shit in the fall, there's going to be a Lee Brown convention. And it's going to be game on, hug whoever you want. You got to sign a waiver when you get there. That's how we're going
to go. I can't wait to actually see you in real life again. That'll be fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. I will see you soon. And friends, if you're watching this and you say, well, I got sued too, and I got a better story than Dan, then hit me at Lee Brown on Twitter. That's the only time you can at me, is with nice things or to be a guest or any of the social networks. And we can feature you next time, because there will always be something crazy going on in real estate, and it's definitely crazy shit. So we'll see you soon.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.